the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus in this place. The name that is above every name. And at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. We sing praises to your name, God. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I just pray that over these next few moments, I don't want to get in the way. I just don't want to get in the way of what you need to do. I don't want to get in the way of what you need to say. I don't want to be in the way. Lord God, we want to lift you up. We want you to speak into our lives. Holy Spirit, speak into our lives tonight. You can use me, but you can go so far beyond anything that I could think of or dream up to say. Holy Spirit, you know exactly the need of every life. You know what encouragement needs to be spoken. You know what challenge needs to be brought. You know, Father God, how to bring healing to the broken heart. You know, Father God, how to bring comfort to the comfortless. So I pray that that happens tonight. This isn't just a filler in the middle of the week. This is a moment for a divine encounter with you. I expect that. I expect that. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. During worship, you know, I just saw this. Actually, the thought was coming to me during meeting in the back. And I saw somebody that would be here tonight, and I don't know what this means. I really don't. It's kind of like there was this position, there was this this favor that had opened up something to you. And you were very excited about it. It was really good. It was going real good. You were excited about this favor. It opened a door. And now all of a sudden that door is closed. And I mean, it has really discouraged you. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. Does that make sense to anybody here? Anybody? Just let me see your hand. If that makes sense to you, a door of favor opened up and now it's closed. Another one? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, okay. I guess that's why. There's several hands. Now, I don't know what that is for you, but I want you to understand that sometimes in our lives we have these things called detours. Anybody ever know about a detour? I mean, we think we're going on the right road. We think everything's going to turn out right, and there's a detour. I thought about this in reference to, you know, Martha. She had a brother that was dying. You remember that? Hey, Jesus, I got a brother. He's dying. Can you come? He sat around for 2 days on that and then decided to make his way. Probably took another day to get there. And by the time he was going to do anything about it, he had been dead for 4 days. And by now he stinketh. Don't you love King James? I love it. By now he stinketh. I don't doubt it. Now listen, that seemed to be a bit of a detour, didn't it? And listen, you know what Jesus' response was? His response was, because he was talking to the disciples and he said, you know, Lazarus, just chill out. Lazarus is sleeping. They said, well, you know, Master, if he's sleeping, that's a good thing. When he wakes up, he'll feel better. This is great. You know why? Because they didn't want to go to that town because there was a lot of trouble in that town. They wanted to avoid going to that town. They had gotten chased out of that town before, and they were trying to avoid trouble. So they said, it's a good thing. If he's sleeping, that's a good thing. Let's just leave him be. When he wakes up, he'll be fine. Jesus said, you're not getting it. Lazarus is dead. And then he said something that just shakes me up. I don't know about you, but the woman that came and said, hey, I've got a daughter, she's sick. And he goes, hey, we don't give bread to dogs. That kind of shakes me up. I don't know. If I went to Jesus and he called me a dog, I'd be a little upset. I tried that as a pastor a couple of times. It didn't work out good, okay? Pastor, we need you to come to the hospital. Oh, you dog, get out of here. That didn't work well, okay? I didn't do that. That was in my early days, right? So Jesus says something that is absolutely astonishing. And it'll make you mad if you think about it. He said, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there. Excuse me? How many of you ever gone through a situation where you thought everything was going to work out one way and it didn't work out? And would you like God to say, yeah, it didn't work out and I'm glad. Yeah, thanks a lot, God. That's great. Detour. That was a major detour. He said, I'm glad. And then he began to fill in the blanks as to why he was glad. And I'm going to put it in my own words. You study it out yourself. I'll put it in my own words. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because you know what? You're all believers. I'm glad I wasn't there. You're all believers. Your believer, how many of you know if you're a believer, you got a believer on the inside of you, right? Do you know something distinct about believers? They believe, okay? That's on the inside. You got a believer in you. And he says, I'm glad I wasn't there, and I'll tell you why. Because your believer is about to go to a whole new level. Amen. Come on now. They thought it was a detour. They thought, what's up with this? He's dead. You could have been there. You could have fixed this. How many of us have ever had that kind of a talk with God? God, if you would have been there, you could have fixed it. You could have stepped in. This whole detour, I had favor. It was open. The door was open. Now it's closed. God, you could have fixed this. Where were you, God? Anybody ever have a where were you, God? Anybody ever have one of those what's up with that, God, moments? What's up with that, God? But I want you to understand something. When you stay with God, when you stick with God, even through the detours, when you stick through these moments where all of a sudden it was working out well and now everything's fallen apart and you go away discouraged and despondent and upset, detours are going to happen in your life. But I'll tell you, you look back in your life, I guarantee if you broaden the lens of what you're looking at your life with, if you broaden the lens, you're going to find times where you thought God had abandoned you. He could have been there. And if you broaden the lens and look just a little bit bigger, you're going to find out God was there all the time. He was working all the time. I don't know what the detour is for you. I don't know what door got closed, but God is at work all the time in that detour. He's fixing it. He's making a way. He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. You just got to stay with God and watch what he does. Amen. Come on, man. That's exciting, isn't it? Yes. Some of you going through some bad stuff, listen, stick with God. Stick with God. It doesn't mean God wanted you to go through it, but life happens. I'm going to have some t-shirts made. Life happens. There were t-shirts like that one day, and we'll just leave it at that. Life happens. We'll leave it at life happens. Can you say amen to that, right? Yeah, run. Well, anyway, whatever. This is not my message, so I got to get to my message. Oh, my. Does anybody receive that? Do you receive that? There are things that will be in your life that look like detours, but God is in the midst of that detour. He's in the midst of that detour, and he alone can take that detour. That detour may represent a delay, but it will not be a denial of your destiny. If you stay with him, the detour will not be a denial. It may be delay it. It may delay it, but you will walk out your destiny if you keep your eyes on him. Amen? Amen. In closing. No. Now, I got a few minutes left, and I truly do believe I have a message from God for you. I was really struggling with this, and there were a few different things that I thought that I would bring to the church tonight, and I could not land on what I thought God wanted. And that's because we try to figure it out with our head, and he's given you a brain. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, he's given most of us brains, but there's nothing wrong with that, right? Come on, right? But sometimes you don't get the right answer because you don't ask the right question. It's like the mailman walking down the street sees a little boy with a dog. He walks up to the little boy and he says, "Hey, little boy, does your dog bite?" He goes, "No, he doesn't bite." He reached over to pet it and the dog bit him. He goes, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." He said, "My dog doesn't bite. That's not my dog." His answer wasn't wrong. The question was wrong. He could have defined it a little bit more and said, "Hey, little boy, is that your dog?" "No, it's not my dog." "Does that dog bite?" "I don't know. It's not my dog," right? Sometimes the answer you get is dependent on the question you ask. Come on now. Hey, that'll preach, but I'm not going with that, all right? That's not my message either. So I say that to say this. Sometimes you're trying to figure out what God wants to say to people, and really all I had to do was just kind of close everything off, put on some worship music, begin to walk around where I'm staying over there and just walk around the house that I'm in and just begin to pray in the Spirit and ask God, "God, what do these people need? What do you want to say to them?" And I just began to pray, and all of a sudden it became more and more clear, and all of a sudden it was like, pow, man, a light went on and I knew exactly what to do. Sometimes you just got to ask the right questions, right? Isn't that right? So here I want to talk. I talked a little bit at Exaltation yesterday about aligning ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a massive move of God.
Amen.
I'm ready for revival in my life. Amen. But here's the thing. He has spoken words over our church. He's spoken words over my life. Words that he speaks over you, words that he speaks over your life, they are not automatic. They're not going to come to pass just because God said it. You go, "Wait a minute, it's his word. What in this book just comes to pass in your life automatically?" Salvation didn't. You had to align yourself because Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you will confess with your mouth." You had to align yourself before salvation became yours. Am I right? Am I in the right room? You got to align yourself. So he'll speak words over. He spoke over our church back in the Detroit area about 20 years ago. He said, "Begin to declare that grace is a healing place. Declare it." So we could have danced out of there and said, "Woohoo, grace is a healing place," and just wait for God to do the healing stuff. No, he said, "Declare with your mouth that grace is a healing place and make that a part of what you declare about this church." See, we had to align ourselves with the word that was spoken. A couple of years ago, he gave me a word over our church, and I preached it for about a month and a half. And it was that grace was in the middle. In fact, 2016 would be a year of shifting seasons and suddenlies. I'll tell you what, the week that I started that message, man, there was shouting in my church. How many like suddenlies? You like suddenlies? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. Come on, and the Spirit of God filled that place. They all spoke with that. I mean, you like suddenlies, right? There are a lot of suddenlies in the Bible. And so I preached it that way. What I didn't realize is about a month and a half into preaching that message, everything in our foundational structure of our church was absolutely unraveling. One of our key staff members, I mean, just sent me a text message. Been on my staff for 14 years and sent me a text message and said, "I'm done." And put their key in my box and they were gone. And I went, "You talk about some suddenly." That's a suddenly. Right? So we get a word from God and we interpret what it means. Right? Children of Israel did the same thing. "Hey, I'm going to take you into the promised land." "Well, what's this Red Sea garbage about? I got my back to a sea and I got Pharaoh's chariots coming." Well, he gave you a word. He meant what he said. He's taking you into a promised land, but you've got to align yourself with the word that he spoke. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, right?
Right?
Right? So there are some words that he is speaking, I believe, over the church. And sure, over my church, but over the church, because I believe, I'm looking at the signs of the times. And I'm about to write a book, 2018 Reasons Why God... No, I'm not going to write that book. That would be a stupid book. Anybody writes that book, 2018 Reasons Why Jesus Come Back 2018? Oh, God help you. Please don't. Please don't. But I do believe it's sooner than yesterday. That's profound, right? It's sooner than last year. I'm looking at the signs of the times. I'm looking at a world that's coming unravel. I'm looking at a world that is full of darkness. But I'll tell you what, all we got to do is light a match, and I'm a match. I'm a match. All we got to do is light a match. I'm a match. You're a match. You got to light a match, and it'll chase darkness away. Darkness never chases light away, but light will chase darkness away. Amen? And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. That's what we're to do. So I'm just excited about that. But listen, these things aren't going to happen automatically. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. And it's not up to God to get me there. It's up to me to align myself. If your back gets out of alignment, you got to go to a chiropractor, spend money, get it back into alignment. It's easier to stay in alignment than to get back into alignment. It's easier to keep a car running than to get it running again after you forgot to put oil in it for a year. That's just, that's a newsflash for some of you. Check your oil, okay? Dad called. He said, check your oil. He's not here to do it for you. My sister did that. She had a Pontiac Fiero, and it was a turbo. And this was back in the day where turbos were notoriously difficult to keep running. Cute little sports car. One day she called up, hey, Dad, the car won't run. He goes, car won't run. Did you try to, this and that? And he goes, yeah, I tried everything. It just won't start. He goes, when was the last time you checked your oil? She goes, checked what? I mean, dads never want to hear that. And sure enough, it was dry and the motor had burned up. I mean, it'd be a whole lot easier. Back in that day, a quart of oil was about a buck. I mean, a buck for a quart of oil or $5 for 5 quarts of oil would have been a whole lot cheaper than replacing that engine, right? So staying in alignment is easier than getting back into alignment when you get out of alignment. But enough about sin. Let's move on. All right, that went over real big. Hallelujah. So I just want to give you four words that God is truly challenging me on. And I want to give you these words, and you do with them as you see fit. These are words that I believe the body of Christ needs. It's not just Grace. It's not just Pastor Jerry. Grace is the church I pastor. It's not just me. These are words that I believe are going to define the church going forward, 2018, 2019, and beyond. So let's get to the first one. The first one is responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. Come on, say it like you mean it. Responsibility. I know that's a real popular word, right? So responsibility. There's a verse that I want to tag with this word responsibility. It's in Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29, and it says the secret things. And I think I talked a little bit about this at Exaltation, but the secret things belong to God. I think it was in one of my classes. The secret things. The word secret in the Hebrew language is concealed. The concealed things belong to God. I've used that verse a lot of times. I got somebody in my church. I prayed for their kid died. Prayed for their mom died. I don't know if you're like me, but it doesn't always work for me. We may as well be real. And sometimes I go away from that, and I'm pretty upset about it. When my grandfather died, because he prayed for the sick all over the place, he spent the last 25 years of his life. That's all he did, was go and pray for the sick. I heard the miracles. I saw the miracles. It was an amazing thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm at his bedside as he's convulsing, as he's dying. And he died in pain, and he died too early, and I was mad. I'll just tell you, as a pastor, I'm not praying for the sick anymore. I prayed for my grandpa. It didn't work. If it's going to work for anybody, it ought to work for my grandpa because of what he did. I was ticked. Is that okay to admit that a pastor got ticked off? I was ticked. And I was mad at God. So I don't think you should say that. Yeah, like it's a secret to God that I was mad at God, right? So as long as I keep it inside, he'll never know. What are we kidding? No, he knew I was mad. But here's the thing. It took 2 years for him to reveal some things, and I believe he revealed some things that really helped me understand why my grandpa died. I'm not going to go into it. I don't have time. But the concealed things, the secret things belong to God. And there are times there are those secret things. But it goes on, it says, but that which he has revealed to us belongs to us and to our children. Listen to me. Listen to me. There, you're at Rhema Church. You talk about things being revealed in this place, winter Bible seminar, camp meeting, church every week. Are you kidding? You got students all over the place. You're in school every day. You talk about revelation. God is revealing things to you. I didn't grow up believing in healing. I didn't grow up believing in the power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't grow up with these things. I didn't grow up believing in the authority of the believer. I didn't grow up with that. But that's been revealed to me now. And there is now a responsibility in my life to walk that out every day of my life. I can't put that on the shelf and just hope someday somebody else does that. I am responsible to walk in the power of God. I'm responsible to walk in the authority of God. I'm responsible to use the name of Jesus. I'm responsible to walk these things out. Can you say amen? You say, well, I wish I hadn't heard that. It's too late. You're responsible now. You are responsible for what you've heard. And I got to tell you, man, it's not wrong. In fact, it can actually be healthy for us to find a moment where we challenge the revealed things. I'll tell you, there's a whole generation, the millennial generation, they're challenging everything. You know what? That can be a healthy thing. But I'll tell you what, don't be led astray by the wrong stuff. Don't do your study on using Google to do your study. Get into the Word and study the Word. I don't care what Joe Blow says about prosperity or healing or gifts of the Spirit. I couldn't care less. What does the Word say about it? Amen? Get back to the Word. There's such an attack on the Word in the church like we have never seen before. That which is revealed, I'll tell you what, we are responsible to walk out and to help our children walk out what's been revealed to us. Can you say amen? There's a responsibility in our lives. Word number two. Yeah, right. Word number two, hallelujah. How many believe Pastor Derek can get through all four? Amen. There's not enough of you with faith, I'll tell you. I'll get through them. Number two. Number two is, and I skipped number two. Number two is sensitivity. Everybody say sensitivity. Sensitivity. The Bible says in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, it says, for he is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture. Today, if, everybody say if. Yeah. How many know it's the biggest word in the Bible? It is. If. Because when you see the word if, it means you've got a decision to make. So he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You see this four times in the Bible. You see it in Hebrews three times. You see it once in Psalm 95. This phrase, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you go in and you study it out a little bit more, actually the King James says it this way, harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation. They turned their back on what God had said. They hardened their heart to the word of the Lord, and they decided not to hear his voice anymore. So he says, if you will hear his voice, sensitivity, everybody say sensitivity. So if you will hear his voice, you say, well, I don't know if I really hear his voice. Well, Jesus says you do. Jesus says you do. Amen. Your argument is not with me, it's with him. He says, my sheep hear my voice. You say, well, I don't. Then become a sheep. We'll have an altar call at the end, all right? Become a sheep. Now, don't say you don't hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Come on, amen? Right? My sheep hear my voice. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that a mark of sonship, and that son is, you know, specific to a gender, son or daughter. But a mark of sonship is they that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. If you can't hear his voice, you can't be led. So a mark of sonship, a mark of being one of his, is that you hear his voice and you follow it. Amen? So he says, if you will hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep do hear my voice. So come on, man, let's have the right things coming out of our mouth. You know, people come, can you give me any tips on how to hear his voice more clearly? Because I just don't hear his voice. You know what my first tip is? Stop saying you don't hear his voice. Get in agreement with Jesus. You'll do a lot better, all right? Come on, you'll do a lot better. Just say, I hear his voice. You say, well, it hasn't worked in 2 years. Good, do it for three. Say it for four. I don't care how long it takes. Do it until you hear his voice. Say it. Come on, amen, say it. See, the problem is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10, it says, there is this issue that there are many voices in this world, and every one of those voices are significant. Is that right? So there are a lot of voices, voice of circumstance, voice of fear, voice of opinion. I mean, you name it. There's lots of voices out there, lots of voices. And every one of them are significant. They have the potential of significance in your life, depending on what you do with them. Come on, right? And I want you to really understand this. The problem is not that we can't hear the voice of God. The problem is our willingness to hear other voices. We have accustomed ourselves. We have trained ourselves to hear and be led by other voices. And the more you're led by other voices, the easier it is to be led by other voices. I'll tell you what, I have got to hear the voice of God. I don't want to go through a day where I am just lazy, sitting back, allowing myself to float downstream like a dead fish. I want to find out what God says, go with where God is going. Amen. I want to hear his voice. But I've got to make that decision. I've got to make a decision. Today, if you will hear his voice. So I say, I hear the voice of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. I've got to be sensitive. Being sensitive to the voice of God will save some of your lives. I'm telling you right now. Because you know what? As darkness gets darker and we shine our light, don't take it personal, but the devil hates your guts. And it's not personal. It's just you're made in the image of somebody he can't stand. And you have an authority that he once held, and now you have it, and he hates that. He's lost all authority. He has no authority. The only authority he has is the ignorance of the believer. He can walk in all the authority if we are ignorant of what he's doing. That's a good amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sad fact. That the voice of fear, one of those voices, the voice of fear motivates more believers than the voice of faith does. It's true. What would you do if fear was not an issue? What would you do? What would you step out and allow God to use you in if fear was not an issue? Think about it. And every time you hear that voice of fear, you got to figure out what you're going to do with that. Because listen, God needs us to be super sensitive to what he's wanting to do so we can get the job done. Amen? Let's go to word number three. At word number three, I did cover this somewhat yesterday or whatever day that was in exaltation, but it's the word identity. Everybody say identity. 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 What in the world is that? The scripture that I have with that is in Matthew chapter 3. I love this. I have preached this in so many different ways. Matthew chapter 3, we know the story. We got the Jordan River. We've got John the Baptist. We've got Jesus. And they all converge. And Jesus says, I want to be baptized. And he goes down into the water. He comes back out of the water. And what happens? The voice from heaven comes and speaks and says, this is my beloved son, and I am well pleased with him. Isn't that the coolest thing? Come on, wouldn't you say that's cool? Amen. Amen. You know what? Just a little side thought. He said that this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. He hadn't entered into his ministry yet. He hadn't done anything in his ministry yet. Oh, he's a good boy. He's good with his mom and dad, except he kind of stayed in the city when mom and dad left once and, you know, whatever, scared the daylights out of Mary and Joseph. You understand? He was a good son, but he hadn't entered into his ministry yet. He hadn't accomplished anything yet. Sometimes we mix up, we confuse our value with our accomplishments. The voice of the Father established the value of his son in that moment. This is my beloved son, and I am pleased with him. What has he done in the ministry yet? Well, he doesn't even have a resume yet. He hasn't done anything. It's got nothing to do with what he's accomplished. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's just a side thought. Never confuse your value with your accomplishments. Can you say amen? I got stuck in that trap for years and it about killed me. Don't get stuck in that trap. So here we got the voice of the Father, my beloved son, well pleased. Chapter 4, go into the next chapter. And what do we have? Jesus led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he's been fasting, he's hungry. And what does the devil do? The devil comes and he says, hey, see that rock? You got the ability. Why don't you turn that rock into bread? And Jesus' answer, he quoted the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's pretty good, right? The word ought to be able to quote the word, right? That's good. Jesus knew the word. He was the word, right? So that's good. But that's not the biggest issue going on there. You know what the biggest issue going on? He preceded that, turn this stone into bread. He preceded that with this. He said, if you be the Son of God. He had just had the voice of the Father say, this is my beloved Son. And now the devil is saying, if you are the Son of God. Let me tell you something. The devil, every step of the way, is going to try and attack you in your identity. You have got to know who you are in Christ. You have got to rehearse who you are in Christ. Because the enemy, from the very beginning, in the garden, he tried to trip them up because of identity. The Lord knows, God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you'll be just like him. I mean, he was getting them to question their identity. Do you see that? He has always done that. He's going to do that with you. Somebody's going to get a call from God to do something that is so far out of your skill set, your ability, your intelligence, and you're going, man, I don't even understand. I can't do that. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. If God said you can do it, you've got the ability. You go with his identity, because if God said you can do it, I'll tell you what, he has established your identity by what he said you can do. Come on, amen? And if he can steal your identity, he will rob you of your authority. He will rob you of your authority. You need to rehearse your identity. I'll tell you what, Deuteronomy 28 says, I am the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. Come on, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Old things passed away. The devil quit reminding me of what I did when I was a teenager. It's none of your business, and God doesn't remember, so just shut up. Come on, right? I know who I am in Christ. Come on, amen? I've been made the righteousness of God. Old things have passed away. Come on, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ. Come on, man, you got to rehearse it. Because I'll tell you, he's going to tell you what he thinks about you. You got to tell him what God thinks about him. That's a good thing. But tell him who you are because of what Christ has done on the cross. Amen. Amen? Amen? And then the last word is this. The last word is this. Availability. Everybody say availability. 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 The Bible says in John's Gospel chapter 14, we have been trained and trained and trained and trained and trained. And trained. So I need more training. No, you need more availability. Well, I'm here at Raymond to get trained. That's good. Get more training. I'm still in training. I've been pastoring that church 34 years. I'm still in training. I will never be out of training. But I'll tell you what, if my training replaces my doing, I'm in trouble. My availability has got to be consistent. It's got to be constant. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, he said, he that believes in me, and I know, I think I put it in the New Living Translation. I'll tell you the truth. Anyone that believes in me will do the same works. Everybody say same works, the same works that I have done. Jesus went about preaching, teaching, healing all that were oppressed. Acts 10:38, how the Spirit of God was upon him and anointed him, come on, to go about doing miracles, doing signs and wonders and healings and deliverance. And you say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Yeah, but he said, if the same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, he's going to make you alive, fill you with life, and you now go do the same works he did. So I don't know if I'm up for that. You better get up for that. God doesn't have a plan B. We're his plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. All he's waiting for is us to get busy in the body and not be just busy bodies. Get busy in the body and go do the works of Jesus. Amen? I told our class yesterday or today, I said, listen, the Bible is very clear. These signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Well, I don't know if I want to see a devil. Well, I'm not real thrilled about seeing them either. But I'll tell you what, one comes across my path, I know what to do with it. I had that happen years ago. I turned somebody around, told him I loved him. He was just stoned. He turned around. He looked me in the eyes with the blackest, darkest eyes. I called him by name. His name was Jim. He spun around. He goes, Jim's not here. And I went, oh, wow. Ooh. Where's my Lester Summerall book on casting out devils? What was that happened in the Philippines? How do I do that? Yeah. Come on now. But he says, you'll cast out devils. You'll speak with no new tongues. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And then it says this. It says something really crazy. The believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Come on, let me see your hands. Anybody got hands? Come on, right? Yeah. Yeah, be available. You got somebody sick. You say, well, I don't know how to pray a prayer like that. Who said you? I didn't see anywhere in the Bible it says you got to pray a prayer. I didn't see anywhere in the Bible that says you got to quote a scripture. I'm not saying either of those are wrong, but I don't see anywhere where it says believers will lay hands on the sick, pray a real flowery prayer like Pastor Hagin would pray and quote all these scriptures like Tad would pray or speak or, I mean, just quote. It doesn't say that. It says you got a hand, get it on a sick person and watch God go to work.
Amen.
Come on, man. We are secret agents. And we got to get involved in this thing. Amen? Amen? Revival. Revival. This is all about revival. You want to see revival? I'm tired of doing church the way I do church. I've had it up to here. I've been pastoring a long time. And you know what? I don't want to do church like that. And our church is a good church, great church, wonderful church. I love my people. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to do church like we've done church. I want something new. I want something fresh. I want the Spirit of God moving. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be right in the middle of it. I never want to be the prodigal son's brother looking in the window at the party going on with people that got it, that people that began to push into this stuff. I'm not going to be the prodigal son's brother waiting for the party to come to me. I'm going in the house. I don't care if I got to go through the window. I'm going in the house. I'm going to be a part of the party in these last days. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, can you say a big amen.
Amen.
Can you shout amen?
Amen?
Come on, say I'm in.
I'm in.
Say I'm in.
I'm in.
He's talking to me.
Talking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time together. I thank you so much. What you are doing in the body of Christ is absolutely astonishing. We are in for the best days ever. We are in for the greatest move of God. Father God, we are in it now. But Father God, some of us, we're not seeing it. But Father, you're going to make it clear to every one of us. Father, I want to be right in the center, right in the middle of what you are doing. I give you thanks, God. I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said a real big
amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. It was an honor to be here. Thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Hagin and the whole staff. You just are part of a great church.
Amen.
That would be a real good place to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You really are. God bless you.